But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Listen, this isn't a stat award. Everybody's got stats these days. Who's a contender for this? Jared Goff has stats. Joe Burrow has stats. Sam Darnold has stats. Obviously, all these players have stats. In my top three this year, it'll be Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes, period. Because you shouldn't make this an award about stats or who had the best statistical year. It's not the most outstanding player. It's the most valuable player.
Mm. Peter King on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, by the way.
All right.
You want to respond?
To what, that?
Yeah. You're probably pretty with that.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's how it's been done for years, and so that all makes sense to me. I mean, Burrow would be the MVP if you were just looking at who had the best year. He had an incredible year. Better than Jackson and Allen. I don't even know. I think it's close.
Then why shouldn't he win?
Because the team wasn't that good, and so how valuable was your performance? The value of your performance is to elevate your team to, you know, being at least a playoff team. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, if the Bengals had gotten in with 10-7 or something, I still don't think I would want to give him the award. But he's the best player in the league this year by looking at the stats.
Best quarterback, at
best
least.
Quarterback, and so start picking that apart. You know, well, the team was terrible, so he was throwing more later in games. Allen's sitting with a baseball cap on for like 11 quarters this season. Joe Burrow didn't have that luxury because his team was terrible. So he piled up numbers. That's it. Like, that's not the most valuable player to me. It's the best player. He had the best year anyway, best season, but it's not the most valuable.
Because it was of no value ultimately.
Ultimately, like they're golfing.
It's just so inside out for me. I mean, I get it, of course, but it really just seems like a twisted exercise at that point to consider Mahomes more valuable than Burrow this year. Because the Chiefs won X number more games, whatever it would have been, 5, despite the fact. I mean, it's not – stats are just so easy to pick on. And I wouldn't necessarily – I mean, I watch the games too. If I had this vote, I would watch the games too and not just look at numbers. And maybe there would be sort of some different takeaways. And I think anything like that would help Allen. You know, Allen has had spectacular moments this year, a couple of all-time great games that actually also come with great stats, but just sort of the story of this season, he's been such a leading part of it, and Mahomes hasn't. But and Mahomes is obviously very valuable, so I'm not
mm-hmm.
going all the way to scoff at that. It's just, it does seem twisted when we're finding ways in this argument he makes to not have this be an award that goes to the best player, like, or just best quarterback. There's that. I'm leaving all that out. I mean, what would Sam Monson say? Aaron Donald should have won 5.
Sure.
Best right. player in the league. He should have won 5 times. But of course he didn't come close. We have different awards for you. It's a quarterback award.
Right.
It's not going to be Barkley here.
Right. This is part of the reason why I always dismiss the notion of Barkley, even if he broke the record. I think a fair question to ask yourself if you're a voter, or ask of a voter if you're not, and you happen to know one personally and get an answer out of this, is like, what does Philadelphia look like with some other running back who runs for 1,500 yards instead of 2,000? Are the results much different at all? Like, how valuable is that? I mean, it's transcendent, it's record-breaking, but where's the value? I would never vote for a running back I think almost never. I mean, there's some scenario where a guy puts up 3,000 yards or something and another 1,000 receiving, and like maybe it's undeniable at that point. But, you know, setting the all-time rushing mark in a 17-game season now, this isn't really going to do a lot for me. Congratulations. You beat a guy who did it in 14 games or 16 games, like golf clap.
Which he didn't, ultimately.
Right, he didn't ultimately even get there.
I guess he beat OJ by 2 yards.
Right, that's why I just sort of put that, I never took that seriously. I didn't think he'd get there, first of all, which he didn't, because I thought what I thought would happen happened. They were solid, and we're not going to run him 20 times so we can get a record. We have playoff games to win. But even if he had, I don't think it would have, for me, I'm not pretending to know what goes on with the voters, you know, for Allen's sake, you know, I hope enough voters are of the mind to award Jackson the AP first team because he's had an incredible year and look at Allen and go, okay, we'll give Allen that one if it's the same pool of people. But I don't know that that'll happen. It has been a long time since it's happened that way. Where the first team all pro guy didn't get the MVP.
Yes. I'm not making an argument that I really love. It's just I'm straining it a little bit at this award not going to the best guy because of other if Allen or Jackson or Mahomes missed their seasons, who cares? Like, you know, the exercise seems to be in part trying to figure out what would happen if that happened. If these teams played without those guys for half the season, what would have happened in those games? You know, we don't know. So why bother, right? Like, they're probably all worse. They probably all lose. How good the backup is would play into that, too. How good the defense is, how good the coaching staff is would play into all that, too. But it gets pretty far into territory where you just can't know the answer. And a lot of this, too, is intangibles, right? Like, Allen seems to be aces when it comes to intangibles. Maybe so are the other guys. How do you know? And a guy like Peter King and the voters, you would think at least many of them who are around players a lot would have good ways of sensing that or get trusting answers about to those questions that go beyond just the platitudes that your team's guy gets when you're speaking with the media. Like, everybody's, all the Bills guys are pumping Allen up. The Ravens guys are probably pumping Jackson up. I don't really know. So you'd want to be able to see through that. All right. Well, I'm getting to that point where I'm kind of exhausted.
Yeah.
I'm getting to that point.
Well, that could be good for me, too.
Why? You're done?
Well, because if you, whatever. I mean, I you know. If you want to talk about it, you know, I'm not saying you rule the world here or anything, but, like, you know, I'm going to run with you. But if you start to get annoyed about it and change the subject, then that might work for me too. Okay. I mean, whatever. I'm equipped for anything.
I'll give you a new subject.
I just don't know that I can take 6 weeks of the semantics of valuable versus outstanding and all that. I don't know if I can do it. But, you know, the award is called the most valuable player. You said it. You said it in a voice that invoked criticism. If you want to have the most outstanding player, go ahead and do that. They have that. Offensive player of the year. Quarterback of the year. I've suggested this midway through the year when we were all yelling about it with Sam and all these other guys. Do it like college. Have an outstanding player at every position. Put it on TV. Have Jimmy Kimmel hosted. Whatever. Do whatever you need to do.
Nikki Glaser.
Sure. Bring it on.
She's on a roll.
She is.
But Jeff Goldblum.
I don't need, oh boy. Why did you mention him? I didn't divulge who that, but booped up, back up.
I'll give you a new topic. So last night, I rabbit hole time.
Yeah.
I watched, so NFL Films has these excellent documentaries on former NFL drafts, like old NFL drafts. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen any of those?
No, this isn't the 30 for 30 on the 83 draft. It's a different thing.
Okay. It's not, but they're somewhat similar.
Okay. I don't think I've taken any of that in.
Okay.
Am I in any of them?
Not that I've seen. But I watched.
Every now and then I get social media notes from people who catch me on some old NFL Films thing. Anyway, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, countdown shows, right?
Yeah, like yeah.
Top 10.
Top 10, whatever. This guy, that guy. Yeah, top 10 quarterback receiver duos is one I remember doing.
1974, I watched. 1994, I think they had Dan Wilkinson. I watched that one. And 2005, Aaron Rodgers.
Big Daddy Wilkinson.
Big Daddy Wilkinson, yeah. Who, by the way, had a pretty good career.
Yeah.
He just wasn't amazing.
A monster, right.
In 2005, which is the draft where Rodgers sits in the green room by himself for a long time, he looks so young in that stuff. But did you realize, this is a long time ago, 19 years ago, or 20, but did you know that three running backs went in the top five?
Oh, wow.
That year?
No.
Speaking of running back value,
but it's not. I don't think we'd had the memo yet on don't draft running backs high. Running backs don't matter. I don't think that had really gotten traction yet.
This was the peak or the nadir.
Holy cow! Three in the top five. Kajana Carter is the first name that just came to mind for me. Is that the wrong draft?
Yeah, that's older.
Okay,
that's like mid-90s, maybe. 96, 95, 96, I want to say.
Yeah, you know what? In my head, for some reason, even though you just said 2005 and Aaron Rodgers, my brain heard 95.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's a problem, but...
Yeah, that's bad. Okay, so 2005. Okay.
I would never.
Oh.
That's like really a tough era for me, remembering anything. I do remember Rodgers for that year. Like, that connects for me. 05. That draft, but not the running back names.
I've got one name in my head, and then I went, I'm not even sure that that was a running back. So I might be about to be really bad at this.
Two played for the same college team.
Okay.
Let me tell you.
Tim Biakabatuka.
No.
Was he a running back at least?
He was a running back out of Michigan.
Okay. So I just got it in my head, and then for some reason I confused him with Julius Peppers, and then I got really tangled up. Sorry.
Yeah. Let me help you out.
Julius Peppers was a defensive end. Okay, yeah, I guess I should tap out.
Ronnie Brown.
Oh, sure. All
right. At two to Miami.
Yeah.
He's all right.
Yeah.
The Wildcat.
Yep.
Ronnie Brown.
He was great backfield at Auburn with him, Cadillac Williams, and... Brandon Jacobs.
So
they had a three-headed thing going there that was just super hot.
Who might have been drafted later in this draft, too.
Yes.
But Cadillac Williams went five.
Okay.
To Tampa. And between them, Cedric Benson at four from Texas to the Bears.
That's amazing.
Three running backs in the top five. That happened in this century.
That's amazing. Yeah, Brandon Jacobs was Giants, and I don't remember if he was even in the first round.
No, he wasn't in the first round in that draft, at least. I don't know exactly.
Yeah.
I think they mentioned him last night on that show, but it was 1 in the morning. What was I doing up?
Right. Watching this is what you were doing.
I loved it. I was really interested in it. And I hope there are more of those. I feel like maybe I've seen them all now, but I'd love to find a couple more. 803-0550, the Don Tire Drive at 5 coming up at 5. Jeff Legwald will join us on the Broncos picks at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is Football Friday on WGR.